Thanks again for being here this morning. Pastor Dennis did mention we are in part three of a series. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about the messy church. The messy church, I know that for many of us, if you've been tracking along, you're probably aware of where we are headed in this series this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Connor started this series off by talking about the internal mess, and all of us deal with an internal mess. There's just a lot of struggles that come along with life in general that we will continue to deal with throughout our lives. There's messes that we deal with, the messes that we clean up, but guess what? When you clean one mess, all of a sudden you turn around and you realize there's another there. So we talked about the internal mess or the internal struggle that we deal with. And then last week, Pastor Nick, he talked about the fact that when we are individually full of messes, guess what that means when we come together as a group? Sometimes there's difficulty and there are struggles that we deal with relationally as church people. And that external mess can be a difficult barrier for us to get over sometimes. You name all the different scenarios of why people can struggle relationally together, but I'm so thankful for the encouragement that Pastor Nick gave us last week, and a little bit of a slap. You know, he kind of gave us a kick in the pants and told us we need to get over some of these things and just set aside some preferences and deal with the fact that there are some external messes that will continue to accompany us in life. And then this morning, I have to admit, I've been struggling for several weeks now how to handle this particular part of the series, because we're talking about the eternal mess. And as I've been thinking through this particular topic the last couple of weeks, I've been dreading it a little bit, because I didn't want to stand here and present something that would come across as really gloomy and maybe even a little depressing, to think that there is an eternal mess that we're going to deal with. But I think that last night, I was still wrestling with this idea of not wanting to come across in that way. And Brittany and I were praying together last night, and it's like the Lord just downloaded this little bit of encouragement in my heart as we were praying, and I really started to focus on our text a little bit differently, in a way that I think brings hope to our topic this morning. Yes, there is an eternal mess. There will always be a mess. There will always be something to deal with, always a mess to clean up, but guess what? There is hope in that. We're going to get to our text in a little bit, but I really felt like the Lord directed me before we even concluded that prayer to Matthew 4:35, where he says this: "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." They are ripe for harvest. How many of you would consider yourself Christ followers in the room this morning? You can raise a hand. So it looks like most of us would. We would say, yes, I follow Jesus. I've committed my life to him. Well, guess what? That means now we have a mission. We have a purpose in our lives to share the gospel and to spread that with other people. And so as a result of that, Jesus, when he's talking to his followers, he says, open your eyes. Look to the fields, because they are ripe for the harvest. And church, I would say that right now, we need to open our eyes and look to the fields, because they are ripe. Yes, we live in a messy world, but if we look around us, I think there are endless opportunities right now to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We live in a crazy world. This time in history is really, it's kind of scary sometimes. It can be a little depressing if you really start to focus on all of the things that we, you know, a lot of Christ followers don't agree with, or things that we might do differently or choose differently or say differently. It can be discouraging. But I also think that we cannot stay in that part of the mess. We cannot continue to just fix our eyes on the eternal mess, because the Lord is calling us to open our eyes and to look to the harvest. I think that now more than ever, we have that opportunity to jump into the mess, to dive into the mess as the hands and feet of Jesus and be a light to this world. I'm going to do my best this morning to kind of move us along and not spend a ton of time here. Historically, I really like to draw the meaning as much as possible out of the text, but we are going to move along today, and I'm going to have you out of here. I know we got a noon game, right? Did I hear something about that? Okay. Well, I promise, by halftime, you'll be home, sitting in your chair. That would be a mess. There was an author several years ago who actually passed away, but he said this. He said, people who are desperate for spirituality very seldom worry about the mess they make on their way to be with Jesus. And I think that for us, the key in this series is as we continue to look at our text this morning and as we wrap this up, I think the key is this. We've got to focus our eyes on Jesus, and we've got to we've got to take seriously the call that we have to the harvest. And so this morning, I want us to change our perspective. I know that we've talked a lot about the fact that we're broken. We are messed up personally. We live in messes. We have messes around us relationally. We are not perfect people, but the Lord isn't calling us to perfection because that doesn't exist within us. But that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of what Jesus has called us to, is he's called us and invited us into this mess, and he's called us to be a light in the midst of us. I mean, think about the people in the New Testament that Jesus chose. He chose tax collectors and prostitutes and murderers and people with insecurities and people who didn't have any exceptional talents. I can identify people who were crippled and sick, people who were poor, the outcast of society. Those were the messy people that God chose to change the world. That sounds like us, doesn't it? No judgment on you. But I know for me, when I see that, I think I can identify with a lot of the people that Christ chose to spend time with. The people that he chose to partner with in building the church. Those are my people. They're messed up, they're broken, so am I. So why in the world would I try to escape the mess that God has invited me to be a part of? Why would I try to step out of that? This morning we are talking about the eternal mess, and I think it's important for us to acknowledge that this morning. And to go into it with our eyes wide open, knowing this, that in John 16:33, Jesus said this, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. You're going to experience some messes. You're going to walk into some situations that are not comfortable, some things that are painful, some things that are difficult, maybe even some relationships with painful and difficult people. It's going to happen. Be certain of that, that in this world you will have trouble, but also take heart, the verse says, for I have overcome the world. Amen? It seems like right now more than ever, our world is crazy. There's so much division. There's so much chaos. It doesn't take very long at all for us to look around and realize that things are a mess in our world. There's so much fighting in and outside of the church. There are scandals that take place in and outside the church. There are scandals politically. There are issues that divide us. There is a deterioration of morality that, honestly, I think if all of us could just rewind the clock about 10 years, we would be shocked at where we are right now. I think if any of us could go back to our childhood and watch the TV of today, we would be blown away by the amount of things that we are exposed to. But we've been desensitized to the fact that we are living in the midst of a mess. Our world is a mess. Things are crazy and chaotic. But rather than retreating from that, rather than pulling out of culture and saying, no, you know what? God has saved me and I'm so holy, I can't even be a part of that. I think the Lord is calling us deeper into this mess. Deeper to be a part of the mess of this world. Because without it, where in the world would we be? Our text for this series, I'm going to spend a lot of time actually just kind of digging into this text and really just kind of trying to pull as much meaning out of it as I can. I think that there's the original intention of this probably made sense to the audience that it was written to in a different way than we read it now. Most of us aren't farmers. Is anybody a farmer in here? Look at that, not a hand. Does anybody even garden? Okay, we got a couple gardeners. Do you use an ox for your gardening? Don't elbow your husband. Most of us, we don't really get the context of this, but I want to try to pull out some of these metaphors and really see what we can glean from this text this morning. Proverbs 14:4 says this: Without an ox, the stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a good harvest. I think many of us are tempted to jump in and begin to clean, right? We want to clean up the world, clean up the mess. Me, I love to clean. I actually prefer for things to be clean. I'm kind of a weird person when it comes to clutter and organization. I actually get a little bit excited when I see a mess because I think, hey, this is an opportunity for me to shine. I can jump in there and I can clean it up. If I see somebody spill something, I immediately envision myself with the vacuum cleaner, just running it back and forth, just making it disappear. I can get lost in the idea of cleaning and making things look really sharp and organized. I love that. Brittany and I are both that way. And so things can get a little intense in our house because we really want things to look nice and neat and to stay as clean as possible. Sometimes we're even so weird. Sometimes we will fall asleep watching the show Hoarders. You ever seen that show? Anybody ever seen that? It's the most disturbing show you'll ever watch in your life, I promise. It's people who have an actual mental condition where they can't part with items. And so they will just take things into their home over and over and over and over. And they can't physically part with things. So stuff that is literally trash, they can't throw it away. And these people eventually they're crowded out of their homes. They're living in unsafe conditions because they're surrounded by such mess. A lot of times these people will go in that try to help them, and they're like in these suits because they can't even get that close to the mess. They'll have masks on because the air isn't even safe to breathe. And we watch this for entertainment. But here's the thing, it's not the mess that I love. It's that always along the way, there are these little victories that take place. And you see these moments where they begin with the help of a team and the help of a family and all this. They begin to let go of some things. And throughout the show, you'll see them make trip after trip to the dumpster. And my body just begins to relax as I see the dumpsters filling. As I see the mess begin to retreat, I just see myself like just melting into the covers at night, and I sleep peacefully through the night knowing that someone has cleaned up something somewhere. I mean, isn't that awesome? Can you imagine? I know I'm weird. So when I read our verse and it says, without an ox, the stable stays clean, I think, fine. We don't need an ox. Nobody needs an ox. If an ox is a mess, then we don't need that ox, because who in their right mind would invite that kind of mess into their life? And this is where I begin to get off base, because if we follow this metaphorically, what can happen is I can begin to separate myself, separate physically, spiritually, in every way from the messes that surround me. Because I don't want to come in contact with things that make me uncomfortable. And therefore, I lose touch with the mess that's around me, with the mess that is the world. Because I just, it's so uncomfortable to dive in, to get dirty in these relationships, and to get in on all the stuff that other people's lives entails. It's messy, and I don't like the mess. And I think that a lot of us can identify with that too. It's so much more comfortable to just stay in our clean, sterile environment. And I pray for all of us this morning that we wouldn't get caught up in that kind of mindset, that we'd be willing to do the work that God is calling us to. I know that life can be messy, and we've all experienced that. But I want us to see that it's a blessing to take part in the lives of others, regardless of the mess that it might be, regardless of the struggle that it could be. You know, throughout history, many people have been, they've been tempted to clean the mess around them. We're tempted to take on responsibility that isn't our own, you know, to jump in and to begin to clean up things that don't belong to us. We begin to pick up the job of judging and cleaning the world, and without even knowing it, we kind of fall into that trap, becoming self-righteous and assuming that we know better, that we do better, that we are better. We're trying to clean up the world, and in the process, we're attempting to play God. We see it as our goal to point out the mistakes and the shortcomings of those around us, all the while ignoring our own mess. Because you'll never escape it. You'll never escape your own mess. John Piper said it this way: don't be so quick to expose everyone else's sins when God has been so merciful in covering yours. You ever taken a trip to a hotel and on, like, in the bathroom, like the vanity area, they'll have one of those little mirrors that kind of hangs out on the side of the, it's like the small little mirror, and you kind of pull it over close. Or maybe you have one of those at your house. Have you ever, anybody know what I'm talking about? Those things are terrible. They're these mirrors that expand everything. They're basically magnifying glasses is what they are, but they expand everything by like 4 or 5 times. And listen, if you've ever peeked into one of those, there's no going back, because you look into that mirror and all of a sudden you begin to see things that you've never seen before. You begin to notice things. You're like, what is that nose? Like, oh my gosh. Or, I didn't know I had hair over there. Where did that come from? It's so enlightening, because it begins to blow up and expose the things that we normally just would overlook. You can't see them because you're just not looking that closely. But those little mirrors are a lot like our relationship with Jesus. Because our relationship with Jesus, as we peer into the life, as we peer into the character, as we peer into the way of living with Christ, we begin more and more to see his perfection. We see clearly, but we also begin to become more and more aware of our own imperfections, our own weaknesses, our own messes that we have. And I think that would be the Lord's desire for each of us, is not that we would begin to look around and begin to examine and expose all of the messes in everyone else, but that we would be able to look inside of ourselves and see, you know what, God, I got work to do. Who am I? Who am I to judge this world when I've got this own mess in my own life? I think that that's what our relationship with the Lord is like. But the beauty is this: he loves us anyway. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that? He loves you this morning. You are here because he loves you, and he's allowed you to be here. The Lord has blessed you. And it's not just us. He loves the entire world. It's easy to think God loves this church. He loves it when I'm here and I'm faithful and I serve him here and I hold a door. I serve him here on one of the teams. It's easy to think that God loves us in those moments, but God so loved the world, it says in John 3:16, that he gave his one and only son. God didn't just so love Crown Point Church. God didn't just so love the Christians in this place and the Christians that you bump into around town. For God so loved the world, which is the entire mess. You see, when sin entered the world, it severed that original connection that we have between God and people, and it messed things up for eternity. That's the eternal mess. But the beauty is this: that even though sin separates us from God, Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So how do we make sense of our passage? Proverbs 14:4. Without an ox, the stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a good harvest. This text implies a lot of things. There are things that you can read into it, obviously, as you begin to examine the different characters, and there's a few here in this place. But one of the things that it implies is that someone owns this metaphorical stable, and it's the owner's job to keep the stable clean. For a lot of us, and we do this with most every story, we kind of assume that we are the owner, right? We read this and we think, that's my stable, that's my ox, and so I have control over the mess that is created. We think that about every story, whether we're watching a movie, whether we're reading a book, whether we're just hearing someone tell a story. We always take on the idea or the role of being the main character. And I think that there's a part of that that it's just totally natural for us to do that. It's actually one of the things that's kept us alive as the human race. We're all a little bit selfish, enough so that we stay alive and we can have life here on this earth. But I think that one of the things that happens when we always take on this main character kind of energy and responsibility is that we begin to take on a lot of unnecessary pressure at the same time. If I'm always the main character, if I'm always the hero and the savior of every situation, for starters, the world is way worse off than we ever thought it was. Same for you. But secondly, we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble because it just takes one bad day for me. It takes for me to be maybe just a little bit hungry or a little bit tired. One bad day, maybe one bad interaction with somebody. And if I'm in charge, if I'm the hero of this whole thing, we're all in trouble because I can't be trusted with that kind of responsibility. And neither can you. But you know who can be, right? The Lord. He's the only one that can be trusted with that kind of ownership and responsibility. And so I think it's important for us to stop and realize right at the beginning of all of this, we don't own the stable. The Lord is the one who owns this stable. And if the Lord owns the stable, and the Lord is in charge of the harvest, then guess what our role is? You guessed it. You're that messy ox, right? Now it all makes sense to some of you. You're like, yeah, he is. And if I'm the ox, then you're the ox. And guess who keeps making all the messes? We do. That's what we've been doing throughout eternity. And that's what we will continue to do. That is the eternal mess. It's the fact that God has entrusted his plan to broken and flawed, weak people like me and like you. But at the same time, it's an amazing plan because God, through broken and messy and weak and flawed individuals like you and I, continues to reap a harvest. That, church, is the good news. Another quote from Mike Iaconelli. He wrote a book called Messy Spirituality, and he passed away several years ago in a car accident, kind of tragically, but this book has continued to live on and make an impact on the community. But he says this: accepting the reality of our broken, flawed lives is the beginning of spirituality. Not because the spiritual life will remove our flaws, but because we let go of seeking perfection, and instead we seek God, who is present in the tangledness of our lives. That's the mess we live in. Not that everything's fixed. Not that everything's perfect. Not that we are amazing, but we serve the one who is a perfect, amazing, completely fixed God who invites us constantly into relationship with us, with him. He's the owner of the stable, and he says, you can stay here. You can come. He invites us in. I think the pursuit of perfection and striving for all of us all that constant aiming for cleanliness and cleansing, it's exhausting. We wear ourselves out when we try to take on responsibilities that the Lord never intended for us to have. We become worn out, burned out from constantly moving around, trying to do the Lord's work when he's invited us simply to be with him. We're constantly trying to sweep up instead of sit at his feet. We're constantly trying to do what is his work. And I don't know how many times you've ever tried this, but if you ever try to do someone else's job, it can be really exhausting because it's not your job. It's not what you were meant to do. But we do have a job. The Lord has called each and every one of us. And I think it's time for us to surrender our control, to acknowledge that we are not the owners, and to submit to his lordship. Take our place as laborers in the jobs and the roles that the Lord has given us to serve in. Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Church, there is fertile ground for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Are you willing to go and to serve, to use your gifts, to help as the Lord leads you to take part in the harvest? I'm wondering, what messes do you need to surrender this morning in your life? What things are coming to mind as we talk today? Things that you need to entrust to the Lord. Maybe areas where you've attempted to maintain control. Things that just need to be off your plate because you're not in charge anyway. What are those areas? I'm personally full of hope today because I know that we serve the Lord of the harvest. And knowing that I'm not responsible as the custodian of the world to make sure that people live right and act right, and say the right things and do the right things. I'm not the gatekeeper for this church or for the Lord's church. I don't have to be the one who decides who gets in and who needs to go out. None of that is my job. It's not my responsibility. And I'm thankful today that the fields are ripe for harvest, for people who are just willing to serve the Lord. We need to be the light of Jesus in this world, and we do that simply by drawing closer to him. I think that's the call today for each one of us, to look inside and say, God, how can I lay aside the things that are messes in my life? How can I lay those things aside and draw closer to you? To settle, to relax deeper into your presence so that I can be more effective in this world. Matthew 11:28-29 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Who wears the yoke? Big oxes like you and me. And he goes on and says this, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I'd like for us all to just bow our heads this morning and just to kind of get in our own space today. And I just want to ask you some questions as we just kind of think about how to process this information, what to do, maybe what the Lord is speaking to us today. What is your mess today? What is it that you need to place at the feet of Jesus? Is it a broken marriage? Is it a strained relationship, maybe with one of your kids? Maybe an old friend? Is it an alcohol addiction? Is it a drug addiction? Is it a porn addiction? Or maybe you're struggling with pride this morning, feeling overlooked and unappreciated at home or at work. You think maybe if you just work harder, you'll eventually prove that you're worth something. What is it for you today? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God, we need your presence today. Lord, we need you in the midst of this mess. God, we need you because, Lord, you are everything. God, you own this stable. You own this world. We are your children. So, Lord, we just acknowledge your lordship in our lives today. We submit to your lordship. We pray, Lord, that as we just continue to wait in your presence this morning, that you would reveal these areas to us. God, help us to shed these things, Lord, to clean up these areas where the mess seems to be out of control. Lord, help us in these areas to just surrender to you so that we can be more effective in reaping a harvest. God, that is our desire today. May you have your way in our hearts, Lord, as we look to you. Amen. Church, would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to dismiss us here in just a second. But as I do, I'd also like to invite our prayer team forward this morning. We are going to move into a time where we just like to invite you to just dive deeper into maybe a few of these things where you feel like the Lord is prompting you in your heart to just kind of press in. I mentioned several things. Of course, there's probably a variety of messes present here this morning. Probably a lot of different things that we could pray about, things that we could talk about. But as I've been talking this morning, if the Holy Spirit's been nudging you, just kind of shining a light on some of these areas in your life, I want to challenge you not to ignore that. Don't pass up this moment and this opportunity to just lean in and invite the Lord into that mess. He desires to be closer to us, not for us to retreat and to pull away, but to lean in. And guess what? He can handle it. He can handle our mess. So this morning, before I dismiss, if that's you, if there's something that you want prayer for, this team is here this morning. They would love to pray with you, and I just want to invite you to come forward. And for the rest that may not be interested in coming forward for prayer, I just want to ask you if you would just kind of be gracious as people come forward for prayer today. Just kind of quietly dismiss yourselves here in a moment, and let's allow the Lord to work in hearts and lives this morning and however it is that he would like to do so. So if you need prayer today, I'd like to invite you forward. Would you please come and let's agree together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And for the rest of you, I'm so glad that you're here today. Let's go partner with the Lord and be a part of the work that he's doing in this world. Thank you so much for being here today. You are dismissed if you're not coming forward for prayer, but I also again want to challenge you. I know that there's a lot of messed up and broken people just like me. So if that's you and you want to come forward for prayer, please do so now. Thank you. God bless. Have a wonderful day.